This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Right corner, Kispert open for three, it's there!
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now, the right block of Alsar, slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Locked by Colbelli! Left wing, George, 3 o'clock for three, it's there!
Feel like busting loose, busting loose.
Crossover, step back, three, oh, there! Jordan Poole,
you are cool!
Feel like busting loose now.
On the Hoffman Show.
It is just after 6 o'clock on a Wizards game day, and we head live to Capital One Arena, where I was earlier today for the Mystics introductory press conference. But the broadcast booth, about as far away as you can get from District D, Dave Johnson, is where we find you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And you know, it's at the last day of school before break, but I don't think this team is looking at a vacation. Again, it's what we talked about. I was telling somebody else about this young team. They are just stoked every night to be in the NBA, and that's why, look, against Cleveland, against Atlanta, against San Antonio, they had chances to win. The better team in the end prevailed on those nights, but you know, tonight they'd like to trip up the Pacers and go into the break feeling good.
No doubt about it. Are we going to see Alex Sarr tonight? That's good,
yes.
And that means I guess we're going to see him this weekend as well?
Yes. He, this is the situation where obviously, with the Wizards' record where it is, you don't have to rush players back. You can get them back where they're fully healthy. And so, he's been out. He missed 8 games with a left ankle sprain, and I didn't think he was going to miss that many. But they, you know, just want to make sure you're perfectly healthy. There's no need to risk injury in a season where you're obviously not battling for a playoff spot. You know, it's the same situation. We're not, as we told you straight out, that Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart would not be part of the Wizards on the floor anyway until after the All-Star break because they want to get them fully healthy. There's not the sense of urgency, I'll hurry them back to the court because, you know, we're losing ground in the standings. That's not where this team is right now.
Dave Johnson joining us from the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena ahead of Wizards and Pacers tonight. Dave, what did you see from Tristan Vukcevic on Monday? Obviously had that crazy good end to the first quarter and ultimately leads the Wizards in scoring. And again, in the season of discovery, if they can turn a second-round pick into a rotation player, like that is a good, good second-round pick, and it seems like the Wizards might be onto something here.
There's no shortage of young players that were, and when they get the opportunities, they perform. And again, when you think about obviously, last night stood out with the season-high 18, but, you know, because of the trade of Jonas Valanciunas, he was getting more playing time, and he was producing. And quite frankly, we talked to Brian Keefe before the game about him because he was coming off a good game against the Atlanta Hawks. So our good stretch of games, really, if you look at what he was producing in the minutes he was playing. But, you know, he's the prototypical stretch four, and you know, because of injury, he's only appeared in 13 games this year, so I think you saw the result of he's got his rhythm back, And it's the flashes we saw last year. And again, he does that with Victor Wembanyama, Mr. Shot Blocker, and the Spurs in town. And he, you know, he went at Wemby a couple times. But the fact that he can stretch the floor and hit that three-point shot with the regularity he can do, he is the type of player that can find a place in the NBA. And the Wizards, you know, he's got all the confidence in the world, having already played in Europe even at his young age. So, you know, this is why it's going to be fun. It is fun right now. And I'm not, this is not PR spin, but, you know, I said the statement about the game against the Hawks. Bob Carrington took over that game. That's a rookie. Rookies don't typically take over games. You could just see the competence in a Bilal Coulibaly bursting through his chest. Oh, Bilal, by the way, you're going to be on Tyrese Halliburton tonight, for example. Or, you know, this is night in and night out. You do this for 82 games, it's benefiting you now, and it's going to benefit this Wizards team in the future. And as we go into the All-Star break, yeah, it should be celebrated that there's three players at the Rising Stars game. I mean, that is significant and an example of how this team is drafted well, and one that did make it, I think, will be there in the future. Kashawn George, since the turn of the year, and I don't know exactly when, but around that period of time, you know, his consistency, his upgrade. He went through a stretch of six straight games where he made at least 2 3-pointers. You know, his ability on defense, his athleticism. So it's exciting times when you're looking at all these guys and thinking, wow, there's, you know, it's not just one guy the Wizards are hanging their hat on. There's a lot going on here, and how is this going to crystallize and come into focus? And that's what's going to make the next 30 games after we get back from the break interesting.
For sure. Dave Johnson with us from Capital One Arena. What do you think, or how do you think that the post-All-Star break Wizards look different from the pre-All-Star break Wizards? And, you know, the break is a chance for BK and the staff and Will and Michael, if they want to get in on it, and whoever else in the front office, to kind of get together, say, all right, we've done all this experimenting. Are there any that we want to go back to and say, all right, we like this little taste that we got on this random night in December. What if we did that with more intention? And obviously you have Marcus and Chris coming into the fold. Like, what do you expect for how this team, this franchise, uses the final 30 games to set up, another Will Dawkins jump season, to use one of his pet phrases?
That's a good question. You think about last year at this time, they made the decision to bring Jordan Poole off the bench to
right,
put him
exactly.
in a better,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
chance to succeed. And of course, he did and was more successful. And then, with Tyus Jones getting injured, he became a starter and really has not looked back since, in terms of the second half of last year carrying over into this year. So I don't know if I have a specific answer, just because I've not talked to Will or Michael about that. But I think you bring up a couple points. Okay, you know, they want to get Chris Middleton and Marcus, you know, Smart involved. I do think, you know, Bilal Coulibaly is showing it's obvious there's no Kyle Kuzma here anymore. So he can continue to expand his role, and I think the Wizards have seen success when he has an expanded role and expanded usage rate. I think it's also worth noting that this team is getting better as a defensive team. The last 10 games, they're ranked 20th in field goal percentage defense. Now, obviously that's not number one, but see, that's an improvement. That's a metric you can point to and say, all right, now the Wizards are a top 20 defensive team. If you look at that particular metric and that number, can that get better over the next 30 games to really close this season strong? When as much as we talked about individual development, this wanted to be a team that is a better defensive team. And, top 20 is a significant, when you think about the top 16 teams make the playoffs. So, in other words, that now suddenly you're talking about having a playoff-like defense, for lack of a better way of saying it. So I think, you know, what I will be encouraged to look for is how they integrate Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, because, you know, they're character guys also like Malcolm Brogdon. We see the difference in how this Wizards team is able to play when Malcolm Brogdon's healthy. Look, it was no coincidence that he comes back and the Wizards, you know, rattle off three wins in a row. I'm not saying they have to have him to win. It just it's an impact on the court that goes beyond the numbers. So, you know, this team is not going to make the playoff. We knew that going in. But did you want to see a team getting to March and April looking better than the team that started the season? And I would suggest that there's numbers to indicate that's the case, but more importantly, the eye test, and quite frankly, that includes the three players going to the Rising Stars weekend. Not that I'm trying to keep coming back to that, but you want to be, if you're a fan of the Wizards, you want to say, you know what, we do have a young class that's getting recognized around the league. You don't want the other side of the equation, obviously, like, wow, nobody's paying attention because they're not performing. But, you know, when players come up to a Bob Carrington and saying, you know, they're changing the scouting report because of him, he's a rookie. But teams are adjusting their scouting reports based on how these rookies are progressing. So, you know, to me, that's proof that yes, you'd like to win more than nine games because we all like to win. But it's proof there's something going on here.
Dave Johnson, you can hear him and Glenn on the call tonight, about 30 minutes away from our pregame coverage here on the Team 980. And then, Dave, nice little break for you. Doing anything, any fun, relaxing? Are you just going to, like, do some laundry and enjoy not being on the road?
No, you know what? I'm not kidding. After tonight's game, I'm driving to Ocean City, and I'm just going to stare at the waves for like
Beautiful.
7 days and just chill out, because the beach is a wonderful time. The winter is a wonderful time at the beach.
I so, love that for you.
Yeah,
I enjoy the break. Right. We'll talk to you when you get back. Well rested, well deserved stretch off here for you, sir. And we appreciate your time as always here on the show.
But thanks to the free Odyssey app, I can still keep up with the Hoffman.
Hey now.
So there we go.
Appreciate it. All right. That's Dave Johnson with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, huge night for someone DMV relative in the hoops world last night. Kevin Durant passes the 30,000 point mark. We will talk about that. But first, the latest on the world and women's sports, or latest in the world of women's sports, he said. It's presented to you by Wawa Chicken, how you wanna at Wawa, with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
About 25 minutes left here in this edition of the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we're willing to send you to Las Vegas. All you got to do is listen. If you're ready to win big and live it up in Sin City, we've got the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details are available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. Last night, I actually didn't see the highlight, Anthony. How did Kevin Durant score his 30,000th point in the NBA?
I didn't see the highlight either.
Well, what a great discussion we're about to have about it. The good thing is I think the discussion is a lot more about Kevin Durant 30,000 points as opposed to Kevin Durant 30,000th point.
I will say I think
30,000th point?
30,000th. 30,000th. Point.
Thank you. What just happened to my brain?
I don't know. Sometimes we slip up on this show.
I might need to switch sides of the screen back. I don't.
Think oh, I'm that's smart what you're calling it.
Okay. I don't know if I'm as good on this side of the screen.
Craig, what's 3 times 3?
9.
Okay. The math maths.
The math maths. Whoa. What were you going to say?
I think KD actually had a pull up though, and then they called a timeout. They gave him a standing ovation. I saw all of that.
Yeah, Ja. I know Ja gave him the game ball at the end, but yeah. I was thinking about this in the break because obviously we're about to talk about it. PG County's very own Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers in the history of the league. If you play his career out 20 times, I feel like the version that's happened is like this is like the 13th or 14th best version of his career. Which is crazy because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and is awesome. Like, that's how good Kevin Durant is. I'm just like, what happens if, like, think of some of the stuff he's had to deal with and then maybe some of the problems he has created for himself. First of all, he's drafted to Seattle and they moved to Oklahoma City. What if he just plays his career in Seattle? Much bigger market. Maybe he's happier there longer. Maybe not. Maybe he ultimately has the desire to move. But, like, certainly being in Oklahoma City versus Seattle, I mean, they did as well as you possibly can in Oklahoma City in terms of new franchise, got to build the infrastructure, like literal infrastructure, practice facilities, whatever. And then they do an incredible job drafting. They've got him. They've got Russ. They've got Harden. They make the run to the 2012 finals. But then, again, so it's thing one, moves from Seattle. to Oklahoma City. All due respect to OKC. Fine little town. Fine medium-sized American city. I mean, little town. That was very coastal elite of me. Then Sam Presti, one of the best general managers in the sport, makes this inexplicable slash inexcusable trade for James Harden, where he trades away Harden a year early. And they're like, oh, we got... You just went to the finals. Just run it back. Run it back one more time. And you could have paid Harden. You could have traded him at the trade deadline if things were going sideways. You could have traded him in the next offseason. You had 2 years remaining on Harden's contract. You'd just gone to the finals with a bunch of 21 and 22 and 23-year-olds, and they trade James Harden. So really what I'm talking about here is more of KD's like championship count, right?
Mm-hmm.
Game 6 Clay happens to him. They were up 3-1 in that series. And then the Warriors do a ridiculous thing. Now, of course, that is probably the impetus for him to leave and join the Warriors. So he gets the championships that he's got in part because of what happens to him. So I don't know how you want to math that math. But then you have... then it becomes the question of like how much do you fault him for choosing Kyrie as his next running mate? Like when he leaves Golden State and he's got the steadiness of Steph Curry and he's like, I know who I want to partner with. Kyrie Irving, famously steady, not at all a wild card. Not someone who tends to blow things up at the most unexpected of times. And he chooses Kyrie as his running mate. Things go way sideways in Brooklyn. Obviously, he eventually gets to Phoenix. They decide, for whatever godforsaken reason, to make the Bradley Beal deal. They could have done other things with Chris Paul if they decide that that's not working, but they ultimately decide to make the Beal deal of all deals. And now he can't get out of Phoenix, and they can't get Beal out of Phoenix because Brad's got the no trade clause. So he blew up their entire trade deadline. And now Kevin is more or less stuck with Bradley Beal in Phoenix. And unless Devin Booker like reverts into or refigures his career into being like a top six player in the league, it feels like Durant's championship window is closed. So we got two in Golden State, got a finals MVP, he certainly had an unbelievable career individually. But I do think for a player as great as he is, what a wild and wacky career he's had. And most of the things I just said aren't things that he could have controlled. And that not even like he came down on someone's foot, rolled an ankle, couldn't control it. Like big, giant organizational stuff, or even whatever you call a franchise moving cities that he couldn't control.
Yeah, I mean, granted, his career definitely could have gone better, but I think what's just been consistent no matter wherever he's gone, he just always been about a bucket, man. Always been about a bucket. And I forgot who I was having this conversation with, but when you just look at the things he can do at 7 feet, I don't necessarily know if I should call him the greatest scorer ever just because he can do a myriad of things. Post up, get to the basket, get your hesitation, you know, the three is there.
Here's how I would answer that question. I'll answer your question with a question. If you need to pick any player in their prime in the history of the NBA to get you one bucket in an ISO situation, I'm going to get you the ball on the wing or at the top and clear out, and you got to get me one bucket. How many dudes are you taking over Durant? I feel like you could obviously make an MJ argument because he's Michael Jordan and the will that he had. If you wanted to make a LeBron argument, I mean, LeBron in his prime, certainly enough to convince you, Mr. LeBron Stan,
yeah.
Of LeBron, even though we think of him as much more than a scorer because he is, but like he's the NBA's all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
You tell me I got one bucket, I can get a Kareem Skyhook. It's hard to pass
Shaq
up.
On the block, maybe.
Yeah, Shaq on the block, maybe.
But
if the ball's on the perimeter, certainly.
Yeah, you got three dribbles. Four dribbles, maybe.
I don't know how many dudes you're taking over Durant.
I don't either.
And I can make an argument for Durant over all the dudes I just said. And the argument is, he's 7 feet tall with a great handle. His shot is unblockable. And he's got 30-foot range.
Yeah.
What's your argument?
I don't think I have a counter.
Right. And that's how you get to 30K.
I will say there is one person that I am considering, though. When we talk about just...
I'm open to it. The funny thing is, like, I'm not actually the biggest KD guy.
Okay.
Like, I have a ton of respect for the guy.
Okay.
I will not diminish his scoring prowess, but I think that, like, part of the reason why I went the direction I did is because I think that there's things about his personality and the way that he's done it over the years where he's a little laissez-faire at times.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And I think that other superstars that have won more perhaps have a bigger impact on their team's culture and kind of how business is done.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily as like, you know, LeBron catches some flack for being GM LeBron, but like the day-to-day of the Golden State Warriors building is trying to keep up with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I don't know that Durant has that impact on a building. And certainly since he left Oklahoma City, where he was, that was different because it's like it was his building.
Or where he demands it kind of thing.
Right. Where LeBron has traveled, like, I mean, the Heat was a different deal. Like, it's Heat culture. But, like, when he came back to Cleveland, he set that tone. And when he went to L.A., he sets that tone. But who's your guy that you would consider over Durant?
I don't know if I would consider him over him, but I would have him up there. And this, you might not like it. But Kyrie Irving is one of the best scorers to
no, 100%
basketball, man. Like,
well, it's kind of like if you have the – I think if you're going to do the NBA one-on-one tournament, Durant has to be one of the favorites because of his size.
Yeah.
Kyrie is way higher on the favorites list than he should be for a guy who's 6'1", because if you tell him he gets to shoot for ball, he makes it, and then you might not ever get to – actually have an offensive possession.
Yeah.
Kyrie did some really dumb stuff a couple years ago, said some really dumb stuff, has occasionally done really dumb stuff. Kyrie, I think part of the reason I was so frustrated with Kyrie a couple years ago is because, like, the people that I know in basketball circles that know Kyrie will tell you he's a really sweet guy whose heart's in the right place. And I actually don't disbelieve that. I think he just got sidetracked by some weird internet stuff.
Yeah.
And I also absolutely will not disrespect Kyrie Irving, the basketball player, because he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah.
There are certain athletes that are like, that's a fun conversation. There's like two other guys that I'm trying to think of in my head of like, I absolutely cannot stand them off the court. And Kyrie's not at that level. But there's one in particular who is the ultimate, cannot stand him off the court, which sucks because I adore watching them play their sport.
Yeah.
We'll do that and real things to wrap up the show next. All right, wrapping up the show with a silly discussion. Athletes that you love to watch play, but you know something about them off the court or off the field or just their personality in general that you're just like, I can't do this. Andy, do you have any, or is this just going to be Petty Craig being a hater over here? Not even a hater. Some of these people deserve it.
People whose game I respect, but...
You're like, man, I love that person. I love watching that player play. And then you learn some more about him. You're like, ugh. Ugh.
I'm sure there's at least one or two. I'm sure there's one or two. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
I'll hit you with my number one in this category. This starting, we were talking about Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie is like a light version of this category for me, but for reasons that we discussed in the last segment, Aaron Rodgers is the ultimate. Aaron Rodgers, at the peak of his powers, was probably my favorite quarterback in the NFL. I loved watching that dude play. The command he had, the style, the flair, the cockiness, honestly. I found him often on some things very, very thoughtful. And then he just got down like the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories on the internet, became totally self-absorbed. Like, there's... I don't want to say what I was about to say because I feel like I could get sued for something. But, like... I would not be surprised if eventually we learned that Aaron Rodgers had some CTE. And I don't say that like meanly or flippantly. Just, it feels like something happened to that dude. And he just went way off the deep end. And then obviously he also became way less enjoyable to watch as a football player because he tore his Achilles and got old. And that's a bad combination. But Aaron Rodgers went from one of my absolute favorite players in the NFL to that guy sucks. So hard. So he's my number one on that list. And he's kind of in a category on his own, I think, in terms of the distance between enjoyment of play and just cannot stand him as a person. You know who's actually entering a little bit of that category? There's a, this I feel like is happening nationally. Pat Mahomes. I think there's some Pat Mahomes stuff that's starting to get kind of annoying with the way he answers certain questions or does certain things. Although I think a lot more of that is about some of the people around Pat Mahomes, depending on how you feel politically, like about his wife. His brother is a terrible person. That is a non-negotiable. Yeah. His brother absolutely sucks. But like, dude, as a quarterback, he's still Pat. Like, he's still the guy that runs around and does the crazy stuff. And like, how can you not enjoy watching that dude play unless you just can't stand Pat Mahomes? And I feel like there's more and more people that are like, I can't stand Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but is that more so due to the fact he's winning?
Well, that's part of it too, right? Is like, people are tired of seeing, it's like, it's really cool. And it's like, oh, look, he's the underdog. And now it's like, God, I'm tired of that guy kicking my team's ass.
Yeah.
And I get that too.
Yeah.
But I feel like Pat is the number one current answer for most people.
Yeah. I feel like Brady got some of that too, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Anybody else that comes to mind as I've tried to jog your memory here? And is there anybody that's the inverse where you like can't stand watching them play, but you're like, oh, but you're a great dude?
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of Chris Paul.
On the floor or off? Or both? Because that's not really the...
On the floor.
I think Chris Paul's a good inverse one. We're like, on the floor, Chris Paul's annoying.
Yeah.
Especially, like, younger Chris Paul was, I think, a little more fun. But Chris Paul's annoying as hell. He's chirping at the referees off the court. Grade A. Apparently just awesome dude.
Yeah.
Like, done so much for the NBA, PA. Great leader on a bunch of important issues. Done like amazing in the community. He's apparently like a great friend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, Craig. I went on a rant. I want to say this was 3 years ago when the Bucks won the NBA Finals. So 2020 is that 2021 or 2022?
I think 21.
Yeah, that year I went on a rant about Chris Paul.
Yeah, it was 21 because they then got on the plane and went to the Olympics, like a couple of those guys. And that was the 2020 Olympics that got rescheduled to 21.
Yeah.
What was your Chris Paul rant?
It
was like so bad.
It was real bad. I actually don't want to repeat because I called him a loser.
That's too much.
Yeah. It was a little aggressive. I essentially said the guy doesn't have championship DNA. Like, I was going in, Craig.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, to me, Chris Paul is a guy who hasn't won a championship, not isn't a champion. I think there's a distinction there.
Yeah. That's a bit much.
Russell Westbrook's kind of in that category for me, too.
Real?
I think Russ, like, off the court, the things he stands up for, the things that he says, I actually enjoy, like, his fashion. Like, he's really in that world.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I love everything he's ever put on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my style, but like, no, that's his thing. Like, he stands up for his culture and like the things that are important to him. And as a player, I found him tremendously annoying at times.
Yeah.
That's a good off season, like middle of July topic
for sure.
We need to bring that one back.
Gotcha. Write it down.
Yeah. Put that one, but just go ahead and create like July 8th in the rundown. Just like put that at 4:30.
All
just
right.
Like safely, we're probably good on July 8th. Something stupid's going to happen on July 8th. And it's going to, hey, blow up the rundown. We've only been waiting on that thing for 5 months. All right. Do we have any real things, Anthony?
Yes, we do, sir.
All right. Well, then let's quickly get to them, shall we?
Real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, we got a couple of good ones. Let's go with the Markieff Morris one because I think this is so funny. Markieff Morris was a part of the Luka Doncic trade, which was something that was very funny to Markieff Morris.
With me being traded, then I got that call from the agent at 1 o'clock in the morning.
It was time it was
saying that I was traded, man. And when it first happened, I was in shock because obviously I haven't played in a couple years, like, you know what I'm saying? So my first thing is who the hell want me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Who wants to trade for me? I know it's me by myself because at the time I didn't know that Luka and Maxi was getting traded. All I knew that I was getting traded. So
that is so funny. Could you imagine? Hey, we're gonna trade you because he hasn't played. So that was by the way on the Twins podcast where he does with his brother. Hey, we're trading you, and you don't know that you're a part of the biggest deal in what the biggest deal in the last decade of the NBA.
Yeah,
and like I still cannot believe that the Utah Jazz did not know that they were a part of. They're just like, hey, do you want two second round picks? Or can we get 2 second round picks for this contract? Or we'll give you 2 second round picks for taking on this contract of a guy that nobody's heard of? Yeah, sure. We can help you there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. Well, we're working on something else. We'll call you back to get it done with the league office. Okay, cool. Thanks. 30 minutes before the trade gets done, it's already on paper. It's already been submitted to the league. Hey, by the way, just so you know, the other piece of this trade, Anthony Davis is going to go to Dallas and Luka's going to go to. Crazy.
In the wee hours of the night.
And the players involved, like, what a weird, weird business. That's our show for today. Wizards, Pacers, final game before the break is next. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 on The Hoffman Show.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.